Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got two guests who've never been here before, but both I have chatted with or have actually met. So please, first of all, let me welcome Anna Zaden. How are you doing, Anna?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good, good. And we also got Dale Nyhaus. How are you doing, Dale?
I'm doing absolutely great. Hope you are as well.
I am. Anna and I do a little show called Frights of the Roundtable 2.0 that we host together. So that's awesome. And yeah. Dale and I have worked together on a couple projects actually. Mm-hmm. So, and we're planning to keep working together. So we always love having you on set. So, and well, Anna, I'm eventually going to work with. You know,
yes.
So I picked a movie that and I'll get into why I picked it later, but I picked a movie that not many people have heard of or have really seen, and there's not many ways to see it, and once again I'll get into that later too, but we're going to be talking about a little movie called Don's Plum, which, you know, when people heard that, I'm sure they were like, what is this, like, what is Don's Plum? Like, I would have imagined it would be about a guy and his plum, you know? But,
you know. I thought it was about a bar.
What? You thought
it wasn't far from it.
Yeah, it wasn't far from it. So there you go. Yeah. But before we get into it all, let's listen to some mood music. Welcome back. All right. We are going to be talking about Don's Plum, which was it was filmed originally in 95, I believe, and then also finished in 96. It was supposed to come out in 97, and I don't want to go into too much of that stuff. Actually, if you go online onto YouTube, there are different like reviews and different things talking about it. Like there's a whole documentary that like the New York Post did about it, so I would check that out. Or also, if you want to hear more information about it or get the movie itself, you can get it from freedonsplum@gmail.com and get it from the producer himself, and he'll give you like an HD copy of it and everything. Yeah, they're trying, it's Free Don's Plum, they're trying to get it out there. So I felt like us doing a review would kind of help get it out there some more, because, I mean, for an indie film, it's got some pretty fucking big names attached to it, you know? Like, were you expecting an indie film with Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire and Kevin Connolly from Entourage? I mean, probably not, you know? That usually doesn't happen. But it did back in 95 and 96, and we'll probably go into a little bit more of that stuff later. So first of all, Dale, could you tell us sort of like, you know, kind of a short synopsis of what this movie is about?
Yeah, from what I took from it, it started out with a group of friends, and it started out with each of them kind of, I guess, in different areas. You had like one that was kind of in his little hallway or something and talking about, hey, go, I want to meet up with my friends. And then you had, so basically it was about a bunch of friends that basically came together at this bar called Dom's Plum. And so it was a restaurant, I guess, or was it?
It was more like a Denny's type
a
style.
Denny's. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Denny's.
Like a cafe.
Right.
But it did have the bar in the back.
It did. It had like another
restaurant bar from the side.
Almost, maybe almost like a Applebee's setup, almost something like that, but little kinda different. Yeah. But yeah, they got together and just basically sat around this table and just kind of cracked jokes, goofed off, kind of acted really immature and just kind of, that's pretty much the synopsis I got. It's just basically a group of friends that were coming together to hang out. And that basically, that's kind of, in my opinion, the synopsis of basically what happened. And then later on, after they hung out and some stuff happened, they eventually all kind of walked off in the sunset, basically.
Okay, so I will warn everybody, I probably should have said this to begin with, but there will be spoilers in this movie. So if you haven't seen it, we do recommend that you see it. Like I said, probably freedonsplum@gmail.com is the best way to see it. If you want to see it on HD, Dale Wheatley, also named Dale, you know, is one of the producers. He actually is the one who will send you a copy of it. So I will be doing an interview with him at some point too for Indie Corner Radio, and that will set a lot of records straight about this movie, because we're not actually going to go into a lot of the background. You know, we'll talk a little bit of stuff like, but you know, we won't go into too much because I don't want to say something that's wrong that might you know, kind of upset people. You know what I mean? I just want to do a fair review of this film, you know, and everything. So it's exactly, it's like a bunch of group of friends. It's a slice of life story of a bunch of friends hanging out. You know, some of them are assholes to each other and stuff, but it's very much what like the 90s was, you know, like this was, right. If you had to like I called it a time capsule, because it's sort of like, if you were to look at what those guys were back in the 90s, that's how they probably, now maybe an over exaggerated version of themselves. I'm pretty sure Leo DiCaprio's not that and not a dick, you know, like that. But, you know, he was sort of, his character was rude and nasty, you know. We'll get into the characters and all that fun stuff, but it was, I mean, it, like each person and all the guys sort of had their own little bit of a kind of assholeness to them, you know, and the women in it were sort of, they're very strong, you know, but they were very, you know, it was very real at times, almost because of the improvness to it. I think that brought in a lot of the like realness to it. Like it felt like it was a documentary about a group of kids in the 90s hanging out, you know, most of them happen to be actors, you know, or musicians or something, you know. Anna, what did you like going into it? What did you think?
Well, it reminded me of my years in Tennessee, actually, with a group of friends I had that were just like this group of friends. I finally had to leave the group of friends because of how rude they were to each other. And I just couldn't take them fighting anymore, but there were never fist fights. It was always verbal fights, and they were always putting everybody down. And all right, you remember in the scene when Derek saw the big woman walk by and he mentioned it?
Uh-huh.
Friends, it did that. So this was like a mind trip. I was like, oh my God, they filmed my life. Except there was no meth.
There was no meth. Oh, wow. Yeah, that part. We'll get into that too. So yeah, I guess to go back into the story, so like it starts off, you were saying, Dale, earlier that it starts off like with everybody at different places, right? And so like it starts off with you know, I think one of the first scenes is Amber Benson's character, I'm gonna look up everybody's names, she was getting kicked out of the car, you know, by, I don't know if it was her boyfriend or just some guy that was trying to get laid.
Yeah.
She wasn't.
Yeah, I couldn't figure that part out either.
Well, I think it's because it just starts it off that way, which, you know, was kind of an interesting way to do it. But yeah, so Amy, that was her name. And there was Jeremy Sisto played Bernard. You never heard his name. Jeremy Sisto is in the car and he's just like, and that scene was just so awful.
It was brutal.
Yeah. It was brutal. He's like, I want
physically.
Yeah. He was like, I want to make sure I physically remove you from my life. And I was like, ouch. I know, burn. It's terrible. And then she wants to hitchhike to Vegas and meets Kevin Connolly's character, and they end up going to, instead of going to Vegas, they end up going to Don's Plum, you know, because why not? That seemed to be the thing, was like Leo was planning to go, Derek was planning to go, Tobey Maguire was planning to go, All of them were planning to go. And then, and Scott Bloom's character was going to go. And then, so he invited the girl, his girlfriend, who didn't seem that interested in him, was all over everybody else too. And he didn't seem to mind.
Yeah, he was just chilling. Like, she was even worried that he would mention what they were when they were in the bed scene.
Yep.
Yeah.
She didn't want him mentioning what they were. So I was like, wow, that's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
He's like, eh, whatever. Yeah.
Like, he didn't care. I think at that time, all he cared about was masturbating in her bathroom or something. Or
something.
Like, in her bathroom.
That's what I caught from it.
Yeah. And then, so then we see Tobey Maguire, and he's like trying so hard to ask these girls to come with him. And I felt so bad because, like, I guess the first girl was just like, I gotta do my hair.
And then, yeah, she had to do her roots. She
had to do her roots.
Yeah.
And then the second girl was just like, nah, you tried dating me, it didn't work out. But I absolutely love that line that she had where she said, she's like, oh, you know, the person I'm supposed to meet is coming. And he's like, oh, is it a guy? Yeah, he's gone. She's like, did you scare him? And she's like, nah, he's still coming. And, but he was acting so, was he high on something or was he just?
No, he is acting weird.
He was acting really weird. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he was high when he was, you know, doing that. I wouldn't be surprised at all, you know?
I'm not talking about, like, I think for his character. Like, I don't know if that, like, yeah. I'm pretty sure, like, Tobey Maguire seems like a very professional person. I don't think he was high on set.
But I think his character, maybe he was trying to portray like he was high or something.
Yeah, you know? Because, or I at first, I'm not going to lie, I at first thought he might be a little autistic, like his character. So I wasn't sure if that, because there was that, like, part where he was just going, like, he was like, no. And he was acting really weird. And I was like,
yeah,
is he like, okay? Like, but they all seemed to like nobody seemed to like think that was weird. Like, just thought it was him. So maybe that's what made me think he might be autistic, was like that they were like, you know, just thought he was whatever. But then again, when he was listening to the music, did you notice how his like attention kept going to the music and stuff? So maybe he was like high or something, because like he seemed to be like attracted, you know how when you're high you kind of like start I haven't been high in a while, but you know, you like start, your attention starts to, sorry about that,
it starts to wander a little bit, it starts to kind of like get distracted.
Yeah, and that's what I thought, you know. So I don't think he had like ADHD or anything. I think he had like some kind of like, maybe he was high or I don't know. It never, nothing, none of that ever got explained. And then his character throughout, if you ever notice throughout the movie, gets like normaler and normaler. So maybe like he's starting to come down from his, you know, whatever, you know,
maybe he had too much coffee.
Maybe. I don't know. He did.
Cause he was drinking a giant bowl of coffee pretty much.
I remember that one part in the movie there where he was just sitting there looking at, and she's like, are you done with that? He's like, yeah, I think so. He just gave it to her, but he was just staring at them for a long time. Like, just like, almost like he was like studying its inside. So he could have either had too much coffee or something. I don't know, but.
Exactly. That was crazy. So all in all, I think like that was an interesting like beginning to the thing, like, you know, learning these people, figuring out Leo and the guy, that random guy that he borrows the phone from.
Yeah.
Just one of the weirdest scenes too. Like, he's just like, hey, can I borrow your phone? And then the guy keeps talking to him. He's like, hey man, I'm on the phone. Love you. You know, right? Like, what is going on? Like, and then he starts talking about, the guy gets upset that Leo doesn't want to be like hanging out with him or whatever at that time, because I mean, I hate to say it, but he wants to hang out with girls, right? You know, he doesn't want to hang out with like some random dude and stuff. So he was just inviting all these girls, and Leo was getting shut down, you know.
Oh yeah,
I'm surprised about that, you know.
Maybe, like, it's because he put his Billy Bob teeth in one day in front of the other girls, and they're just like, no, we can't go back out with you, man.
No, not Billy Bob.
That teeth was crazy.
They were crazy.
Yeah, man, he showed up and I was like, oh my God, it's my dad.
He was it was improv, so like you could tell some of the scenes, you know, like that just felt like they were just fucking around and trying to you know, kind of make it longer or whatever, you know, they were trying to like have fun with it. So let's go into the characters, because we kind of talked about them, but let's actually like literally talk about them. So I'm gonna go by IMDb and we'll talk about each person. Scott Bloom played Brad, and that was the guy that was in the bed in the beginning, and then
his
girlfriend and everything. I thought he was great, but it was just so funny. His character was just so like, just didn't give a fuck about anything, you know. I don't know if that was once again because of drugs or if that was just because he just, that was his character, you know. I think that's what it was, you know. Then Kevin Connolly, because this is, I believe, an alphabetical order to start with. So Kevin Connolly was Jeremy, and Kevin Connolly, like, it sort of felt like Entourage before Entourage. Have you guys ever seen Entourage?
Yeah, I've seen a few. I've seen the movie and I've seen some of the episodes. So yeah, that definitely felt like Entourage before Entourage.
Right. And I think that's how he was, literally, because like he would hang out with these guys. Like a lot of these guys actually, that's why they made this movie, is because everybody sort of actually knew each other, you know, and stuff. And they were like, let's fucking make a movie, you know? Right. Yeah. I mean, why not? You know, they're in Hollywood. Why don't they just start fucking making one? And so, you know, of course they had to get Leo, and Leo was like the biggest, you know, at that time he was becoming the biggest name. And Tobey Maguire was coming up there too, you know, starting to get his stuff out there. So good for them. Now he's fucking Spider-Man, you know, and everything. That's what everybody always knows him as anyway. By the way, I heard something interesting. Leonardo DiCaprio was up for Spider-Man before Toby, you know, when James Cameron was going to do it. He was going to do it with, believe, with Leonardo DiCaprio. And then Toby was like the perfect age when they decided to do it with Sam Raimi. So,
Okay. I did not know that. That's an interesting fact, actually.
That is interesting, considering they both actually like literally knew each other really well and, you know, and have worked on this movie together. And I believe like this is the only, I mean, I may be wrong, so don't quote me on that, but I believe this is the only movie that they've actually been in together, you know, because I don't know any other one offhand.
I don't remember any other ones either.
No, I think this literally was the only one they were in. And I heard something, I don't know if this is right, you know, after watching some of the behind the scenes, that that there was kind of some friction caused after this between those two. Am I correct on that?
On them two? No, I don't believe
so. No, there was never, okay, no. Okay, it wasn't between them, but anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I really like. I mean, and you know, and that's a good point, because that, I think you saw the same one I was mentioning, the New York Post one, and I think the problem, I like, I don't want to say, you know, that stuff or whatever, because like I don't know what's true or what's not, you know.
Right.
I mean, and I can only get one side. You know, like I'm pretty sure I'm never going to be able to talk to Leo about this, you know, and ask him his side of the story, because he's not going to want to talk about it, you know.
No, neither one of them, I don't think, probably want to talk about it.
Yeah,
probably.
And I would not want to like be on their bad side ever. No. That's why I want to always get like one person, you know, something, but I want to make sure it's unbiased opinions, you know, and because in watching just the movie, I think the movie is a lot more fun than, you know, I mean, I feel like this movie should be out there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, people should.
I enjoyed it.
And I think that Leonardo and Toby have had so much time away from this movie that now they should be able to just say, fuck it, let it out. You know, like it's not going to hurt their careers. You know, they're not going to lose work because of that. So nowadays, if they don't want it, it's just because they're just don't, you know, they haven't wanted it for so long that they're just going to keep it like that, you know, kind of thing. So we talked about Toby played Ian, and Leonardo DiCaprio played Derek, and Jenny Lewis, who I have loved ever since I was a kid. You guys ever seen a little movie called The Wizard?
Yeah, a movie. Long time ago.
It's Fred Savage. Yeah, I remember that movie.
Yeah, she was a little redhead girl that he meets and sort of falls in love with.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh my God, that was her. Yeah, you're right.
Wow. Well, I mean, she was definitely grown up, and she was part of this actual. There was a documentary sort of recently, that was about. This time period, this is kind of what brought me to want to watch this movie again and do this was, there was a documentary that the girl who played Punky Brewster, did.
Okay.
If you, Salil Moon Frye did a documentary about the 90s, that just came out recently. And, she directed it. It's called Kid 90. You can find it on Hulu, actually.
Nice.
And it's a documentary about the time period. It's about how kids were back then, as opposed to how they are, everybody is now, you know, and kind of exposing stuff that happened, you know, kind of things, you know, how a lot of it was about whatever, different things. But anyway, the point is that this actually kind of sparked my interest in like, oh, let me check out that Don's Plum movie again. And I was like, you know what, let's do this for Indie Film Cafe, because I actually really like this documentary. So if you guys ever get a chance to see it, I definitely suggest it. Just as much as I suggest watching Don's Plum, if people haven't seen that movie yet. It's, you know, sort of once again, a time capsule. So Jenny Lewis was in that, and she was also in, you know, she's also a singer. She was in a band called Rilo Kiley, we'll get into more of that later, because that's part of the music. But there's actually, she did have a song at the end of the movie. Nice. So if you know, at the end when they're leaving, there's that song that's her. So,
cool.
Yeah. So then there's Meadow Sisto, which was Jeremy Sisto's sister, and she's been in a lot of stuff too.
Yeah.
And it's really, so she played Juliet, and then Marissa Ribisi played Tracy, and Marissa Ribisi is Giovanni Ribisi's sister. So there's a lot of like these kid actors who all knew each other in one movie. Yeah. I think it's kind of cool. And then we mentioned Amber Benson played Amy. And then I don't really know. There's like, I do know that Heather McComb, who I absolutely love too. She was in it as well. And she was like the lesbian chick that came in and started hanging out at the end, you know, or whatever, like, you know, toward whatever, and started making out with, you know, making out with Jenny Lewis.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was funny to, they're all friends. You know, these people were all just like friends who like knew each other, you know, and that's why you can kind of feel the chemistry, you know, between them.
Yeah.
And the last person I'm going to mention in the cast that I thought was awesome was one of the writers, was also in it. As her name's Bethany Ashton Wolf, and she was the one who played Grace Forrester, the movie producer, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Connolly, I mean, sort of showed the difference between like male and female kind of attitudes, you know, of like, you know, like the, you know, he was happy, she was hot. She was like, you know, if you want the role, you have to fuck me. And he was all for it. Like, all right, you know, if that's what I got to do, I'll do it. Like, I thought that was really like, it showed, you know, he didn't even seem to be put off by it. Like, all he seemed to be put off by was the fact that maybe like her boyfriend was in on it and he may have to have a threesome, which he didn't seem to want to do. You know,
right.
At the end of the movie, like, he calls her up right? On the payphone. But do you guys, I didn't pick up what happened. Like, was he going to go over there or did she say no or something? Or you guys, did you guys pick that up at the end of it?
I didn't pick that up either.
I didn't either. No, I didn't pick that up either.
No, it was at the end, like when they were doing like the credits and stuff, or about to do the credits. He sees his car smashed, but like before then, which I was like, I felt bad for him. Like, I mean, I guess in a way, but he wasn't like as bad as Derek. Derek should have gotten his car smashed, not Kevin Connolly's character. Yeah, you know.
Oh yeah.
Right.
I like, agree. Yeah. No. I think that it should have been the other way around, but you know, hey. It happens.
Right. And he was pretty upset about that, but understandably so. But then again, he probably should have stuck up for her and said, hey, if you're leaving, I'll leave too or something. But he kept with his bros, you know, and I guess he didn't really even know this chick, you know, like, he should have already expected, like she was throwing shit at Derek, you know, that maybe yeah. she would fuck up his car, you know. Whatever. let's talk. So we talked about the characters. What were some of your favorite scenes in this movie? Anna, I'll ask you first and then we'll go with Dale.
Well, my favorite scenes are when they go in the bathroom and like just start talking to the mirror.
Well, like, I think it's supposed to be like feel like a documentary.
Does that. Huh?
It feels like a documentary thing or something. Yeah. You know?
But like, people actually do that to pep themselves up and get through stuff. They go to the bathroom in a bar or whatever. They're like talking themselves up and then they walk out a new person. And every time these people came back, they were like fine again. Except for the point when the girl came out, when Sarah came out of the bathroom and everybody's fighting.
But she also,
everything wasn't okay, but everybody went to the bathroom. They came back collected. I was like, people actually do this.
But
they actually put a real life thing in it. So that was good.
But yes. But did you realize, did you like think about it? She was doing meth when she came back out and everything was chaos. I don't know. Maybe they were trying to say something about doing like a serious drug like that. You know, I don't know. I can't speak for the filmmakers like that, but I think that's an interesting observation is that like when everybody comes out, they're normally fine. Everything's fine, whatever. But when she does meth, all of a sudden there's chaos.
You know? Everything goes to chaos when she does it.
I literally don't think there was anything like specifically like that, but it's just, it's funny to notice that, you know.
Yeah.
Dale, what's your favorite scene?
Oh, they were all, you know, interesting in their own sets. I personally did love the beginning ones in a sense that it showed each of the characters kind of leading up to when they went there. You know, you had the one in the beginning, very beginning, when the girl was getting kicked out of the vehicle, and then you had Derek, who was using the other person's phone. The other guy kept having conversation with him, though he wasn't paying attention, and trying to get, hey, you know, meet me at this place, whatever. And then even with, you know, with Toby's character, you know, trying to get these girls to go meet his friends and stuff. I just really want you to meet my friends. It's just, I loved even when a lot of this with a lot of stuff they were improvising, just how for their characters, it was showing the realism of each of these characters, like beforehand, before coming to Dom's Plum, and I just thought they were really neat, you know, even with and then laying in the bedroom where he's just like, I just don't care, you know, hey, let's just go do this, you know, that it was just kind of really interesting to see individually. And then they all came together and that's when all the chaos started to erupt. So I kind of like the beginning scenes myself.
Exactly. I agree. I think the beginnings of everything of how they came together was interesting to see, like, because you kind of got to know everybody personally before they all hung out. And sometimes that doesn't happen, you know, in a movie or whatever. It's just like you're kind of already, you know, existing with these people, right? So,
right.
You know, you see, like you see movies where all of a sudden you're in this people's like world and you don't even know who these people are. at least with this, you get to kind of understand where everybody's coming from, who everybody yeah. is, so that when they kind of all come together, it's just, except maybe the waitress chick, you know, you didn't really get to, she kind of just comes in and was like, yeah, I'll go with you. My shift's over, you know?
Yeah. Oh, but, Juliet. Yeah. When she sat down with Toby.
Yeah. And she's just like, yeah, sure. Like, my shift's over.
He was even shocked when she said, yeah.
Well, I know. Just got turned down twice, you know. Yeah. He was batting badly right there, you know. Yeah. Three strikes, he was almost out. So he luckily had found somebody who was like, yeah, sure, you know.
Yeah.
But she was really sweet. It's just like, you know, a lot of these girls, like, I can see it sort of as those four guys are like that. This is what they do every weekend, you know.
Yeah,
together and hang out. That
the way they were talking about meeting my friends, it was like this was their weekly, like on a Friday or Saturday night. This is what they did. They went out to this place, and they kind of, you know, acted the way they did. It was just their normal thing.
Exactly, and like because they didn't even call it Don's Plum. You know, through like whatever they called, like said, do you want to go meet at the Plum? So it was like, almost like as if like this was, and I wonder, like, I never really found this information out, but I wonder if this was an actual place. I mean, I know it's an actual place that existed, but I'm wondering if it was like something that those guys actually literally always did at that particular place, or you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if this was a meetup.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of an example of calling a place not by its full name. Where I live in Oklahoma, there's this bar on Main Street called the Blue Bonnet. And I used to frequent quite a there with my friends. And we, you know, I'd say, hey, where are you going tonight? He's like, I'm going by the Bonnet tonight, you know? And that's just what we would call it because we knew where it was, what it was. It was just our term for it because it was our hangout. So I kind of get that when they said, hey, let's go to the Plum, you know, kind of the same thing.
And in Williamsburg, we have two bars that are literally right next to each other. Uh-huh. And one is called Paul's Deli and one is called Greenleaf. And so people usually call Paul's Deli Paul's, you know, and Greenleaf the Leaf, you know, or whatever. So, or something, you know, like, I mean, sometimes it's Greenleaf, you know, just to, you know, give everybody the exact place to go to. But you see what I'm saying? Like, you know, whenever you're just kind of telling people, let's go meet at the Leaf, you know, people knew exactly what you're talking about because there's not many places called the Leaf or Greenleaf, you know. So Don's Plum, like I can see it them going like, hey, let's go hang out at the Plum, you know, and everything.
It's, yes,
but like it was so funny because somebody had asked Don of Don's Plum, you know, was you know, are you Don Plum, remember that?
And yes,
and he actually said yes he was, but I don't think he was actually, like, his last name was Plum, you know. I think it was his name, because in the credits his name is actually just Don. So I wonder, he was the owner of it.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't talk about the poor waitress.
Yeah, you know? Poor Flo.
I felt bad for her.
Yeah.
Makes me never want to be a waitress.
Yeah, so first of all, she had a terrible, like, people to serve. And she didn't seem very good at her job, you know. No, she couldn't, you know, and because I think it was because it was just too mass chaos, there's too much going on, and she wasn't very good at that. But then, man, did she have to, like, she was supposed to, like, suck her boss's dick for fucking, you know, better, like a better time or something to work, better schedule. And I was like, damn, what? Like, and you know, there are places like that and shit.
Yeah,
you know, that kind of, especially in the 90s. Nowadays, you could get in some serious, like, there's more, you know, help for people who try to do that, you know.
Yeah.
Back then there wasn't any of that, and people got to get away with a lot more stuff.
Yeah.
So there was that, and then there was, once again, there was the kind of role reversal for the male dealing with the, like, it was, I wanted to say it was like a Harvey Weinstein situation, but it wasn't. It was like sort of the exact opposite, you know, because like the producer was hot, you know, and he wanted it, you know, or whatever. He wasn't gonna, there was no rape involved,
yeah,
you know,
right.
Like he was
no
like,
pressuring.
What?
No pressuring. She just hit on him.
Yeah, she hit on him, and you know, yeah. It was like, she even asked. She even asked, can I kiss you? You know, and stuff, you know, like,
yeah.
So there was like, it kind of showed sort of how, like, I guess the woman would handle it I was talking to the producer about it before, so I'm pretty sure I can say this, but I can say that, like, all the women sort of get what they want, you know, and you know what I mean? Like, the women kind of control the men, you know. The men don't get what they want. Like Leo tries at times, you know, even tries with Sarah, I think.
With Sarah, I think is what her name was.
Yeah. So Sarah, Jenny Lewis's character, he tries to like, he basically tries to have sex with her inside Dawn's plum. I'm like, what are you doing, bro? Like, people can see how like weird is that, you know? But then again, he was very emotionally distraught at that time, which Anna, you told me something about that. Like you were, I think you were surprised when that scene happened where he got all like emotional because of his dad. Right.
Yeah, man. But it kind of, it made it make sense why he's such an asshole too. When you watch it, you're like, wow, his dad died. He killed himself. So, okay. Now his behavior is making sense to me. So yeah, that was the bad thing, was I started justifying Derek's behavior by the story he told about his dad. I was like, he's acting like an ass because he has no dad. His dad killed himself, and now he's got no one.
Right. He has no father figure to look up to.
Yeah. So I got sad, and I almost started crying.
Aww.
Almost. Didn't cry.
It was weird. It came out of nowhere, too.
Yeah, they were just, like, talking, and he just gets really down. And I was like, what's wrong with him?
Well, it happened after the slap.
To get it out of him, and I was like, oh, shit, they shouldn't have pushed him.
No, it was the slap, remember? Because that girl slapped the guy really hard, which it was normally, once again, not something that normally happens in these movies. It's normally the guy who slaps the girl in public. But the girl slaps the guy, and there's like silence, and out of nowhere, you know, he goes into this like deep, dark, like thing, you know, like all of a sudden, like the tone switches to this like kind of sad, melancholy kind of like attitude, you know, and I was sad about that. Like, I mean, but you're right. It did sort of explain why he acts the way he acts. We didn't even talk about that one scene that was so brutal. You know what I'm talking about, Dale, don't you?
Yeah, I think I know exactly. That actually was real reaction. Is that the one you're talking about?
Right, but it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't. It was actually, I found this information out that Amber Benson actually, it was acting. You know, she knew about it ahead of time.
Oh, okay. Her reactions were not real. Okay.
Those weren't real. Well, I mean, they were improv, you know, obviously all of it was improv, but they were rehearsed. So she knew because, and you know, when I heard this, it made total sense because, you know, she's on the screen other times, you know, like she comes back for other, like, you know, other stuff, like when she destroys the car and stuff. Yeah. If that were the case, she probably wouldn't have been in the movie for, you know, she wouldn't have wanted to come back if she had actually been treated that way, you know. It was part of the movie. But I do believe that Leonardo DiCaprio was, didn't think she was the strongest actress, you know, of the group. And so they were like, well, let's, you know, at the time. And we have to understand, like, this was 95, 96. Amber Benson was not a huge name at that time or anything. She didn't really blow up till Buffy, until she played Tara in Buffy. But and she was not a household name or anything. So she was new, you know. And she was, I thought she was excellent, you know, and everything.
Yeah, she did great.
Yeah.
Really.
you know, but I think Leo felt during rehearsals that she wasn't that strong and didn't really want her in the whole movie, you know, so they had to figure out a way to kind of make it work. Is what I've heard. Don't know exactly, but that would make more sense to me. Because she does come back and she throws the stuff at, you know, at them and everything. And that's gotta be fake. That's gotta be staged. You know, people don't actually throw shit like that unless, you know, or they don't keep the camera rolling if that's, you know, or whatever. Well, I wouldn't imagine.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was such a great scene. It was so brutal and nasty that I feel like you know, because it's all started with him getting mad at, you're kind of laughing at the big woman that walked by and saying stuff like, boy, is she fat, ha ha. And Amy's just looking at them going, what the fuck's wrong with you? Like, you know, you know, somebody's feelings right there. Like, don't, you know, don't be like that. And of course that set off Derek, because Derek doesn't like to be told he's wrong, you know?
No, he did not.
So he, you know, dealt with that. So I thought that was a really cool, you know, cool but brutal scene. Like I felt like that needed to be in that scene to kind of show two different things. It showed that Derek was this guy that, like, you didn't want to piss off, you know, or whatever. And B, it showed the women. Did you guys notice how the women in this kind of... They all took the men's side because they didn't want to get kicked out.
Yeah.
Right. And I was talking to somebody about it the other day, and they kind of said, because I thought that women would want to stick together and stuff, like solidarity, like today. But no, women today would still throw another woman under the bus if that meant that they, you know, they'd have to leave the group, you know, or whatever that they like, you know.
And I think she's agreeing with you, because that's a lot of cases that is true. I mean, it's, you know, I've even been told by other women that women are brutal when it comes to guys' things, you know. So that's completely, it's even something that's still true to this day, not everywhere, but you do see that even to this day still.
Exactly, which is kind of, you know, kind of, I mean is really fucked up, you know. Like, you agree, right, Anna?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, women can be completely catty all the time. If they don't want to be out of a group, they'll let their friend get kicked out of the group and they'll stay.
Also,
what? I thought you were my friend. And they're like, I'm sorry, I want to stay with the group. It's like, I've had this happen to me before. I got kicked out of a group for arguing with somebody. Oh, and my best friend ditched me. I was like, I see how it is. Thank you for letting me know where I stand. And I just left. We never talked about it ever again. Like, she came over and she just started acting normal. I was like, really? I was like, we can't be friends. You just ditched me. And she's like, oh, we're back on this. Okay. Then never spoke another word. She left. We weren't friends. I was like, wow, I lost a friend over a group of jerks. So girls... to this day, still do this stuff. It wasn't just in the 90s, but in the 90s, they were a little more brutal. Now they try to do the whole passive aggressive way of doing it. So you don't know it's happening exactly. And then you're kicked out of the group and your friend's staying. You're like, oh, well, that happened. But in the 90s, the girls were upfront about it. They just like, they chill up, and then they'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to stay. Bye.
It's fucked up. You're gonna say something, Dale?
Different breed.
No. I was just listening. You're good.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's so fucked up. You know, people do that. But if you think about it, Amy wasn't even a friend of anyone.
No, she was just a random girl, pretty much, to the rest of them. So
yeah.
In that way, I probably would have too been quiet. No, I would have said something out. I would have said something about, you could have been nicer to that woman. And you could be nicer to her. She's our guest.
Oh, yeah. See, then you'd be kicked out of the group.
I'd be the mediator. So
Yeah. If you had done that, you probably would have been kicked out of Derek's group. You know.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Oh. So we didn't even talk about, like, the filmmaker, the guy who directed this film was Artie Robb. And he was the guy who double dog dares his friend to lick the telephone pole in Christmas Story.
Wow.
Yeah. So he directed this film, and it was his first time. And Dale Wheatley and couple other people. We didn't even mention the big bum and little bum who come in. And Dale Wheatley was one of the, it was the little bum. But I thought that scene was hilarious and weird. Yeah. What did you say, Dale?
Yeah, that was actually an interesting scene. I remember him talking about how when he did the first one, he thought it didn't go very well. I think they ended up doing another take because he thought that the original one just wasn't up to par of what he was wanting to do. But yeah, that was actually really interesting when they included that into that, you know?
Right. It was such a strange scene because, like, it kind of comes out of nowhere. Like, you know, they're like, "Hi, I'm your transient something or other," you know. Was that?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
And we're here. If you can give us money, and they have that same attitude that I've learned to get away from now, which is, you know, if a homeless person, you know, comes to you and asks for money, just give them the money. Don't say, "Oh, you're gonna use it to go buy whatever," because whatever they go buy it for is their choice. You know.
Yeah.
What?
I found out that the bigger bum was Ethan Suplee, who's been in, like, an American History X. He was in Without a Paddle, and he was in My Name is Earl as the older brother. That was actually him that was the bigger bum in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he was one of their friends.
Yeah.
What was that, Anna?
He was also in Butterfly Effect.
Yes.
He went through a list of characters in that.
Yes, he did. Oh, my God.
And he was also in Boy Meets World, Mallrats. Yeah. I mean, a ton of different movies.
Yeah.
So
I've been watching them since the 90s.
Yeah. Well, so interesting thing to kind of segue into a little bit of the music too. Blake Soper, aka Blake Sennett, did the music, and Blake Soper was if you ever watch Boy Meets World, is Ethan Suplee's, like, sidekick.
That's right.
The little guy, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And he did the music for the movie. So he did, like, score and probably helped with because he's part of Rilo Kiley. So he helped with Jenny Lewis. So they worked together on that.
Oh, cool.
And yeah, and so it was interesting to kind of see this whole world of people that, like, knew each other in the 90s, because Boy Meets World was out around that time, was being filmed around 94, 95. So, like, it totally makes sense that all these guys, like, hung out and made movies together and did stuff.
Ethan Suplee lately? He got
He did, especially for some movie that he did.
Yeah, I forgot what the movie was called, but I saw a picture. I was like, no way.
We see.
He's like, wow.
Oh yeah, he looks brutal, man. It was like for some movie that he's playing like a neo-Nazi or something or whatever, or like a something like that.
Yeah.
So he's playing something like where he's got to be, you know, really, like, you know, different, and maybe a Satanist too or something. I don't know. It was weird. It's a weird movie thing, but I'm like, I'll watch that. I love the guy. I think that dude is probably one of my favorite, like, you know, actors that not many people know of, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they know of, but they don't know him by name, you know, a lot. But they've seen, like, a million things.
They know his face, basically.
Yeah. So you'd be like, "Oh, the guy who wanted to see the sailboat in Mallrats."
Yeah.
You know,
it's a scooter.
And you dumb bastard. He was so great, and everything he does just is, he's fantastic. So he seems like a cool dude.
One of my favorites, especially after My Name is Earl.
Definitely.
Like, I love that show. So
yeah, my parents used to watch that show. I never got into it as much. It's pretty funny though.
Good stuff. I was like, in his acting, he was like the idiot, but he was great.
He was a lovable idiot in that. He was really lovable.
Yeah, I'm just not really into the white trash stuff, you know, sense of humor and things. So it's just, I don't know. I just never got into it. I might check it out someday because I know everybody talks about how much they love it and everything. Yeah. And I get it because I love Jason Lee. So yeah. Another actor I feel is, you know, underrated, you know, not a lot of people talk about him. Yeah, so Don's Plum had some amazing music, some cast, some crew. Like, a lot of it was improvised. Most of it, actually, I think, was improvised, except for, like, they will, I think what they would do is they would do they would have to have, like, segues into their next, like, storylines that they would have. So, like, masturbation, you know, story. And then, so they'll be like, you know, like, because there's that random line that happens from fucking Leonardo DiCaprio where he's like, so do you two girls masturbate or whatever, like, do you girls masturbate?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, it goes, so that's, then that's how they all start talking about masturbation. So strange.
And then he started picking on the other guy with the bright blue eyes. I forgot his name.
Are you talking about Brad?
Yes. He started picking on him about being bi.
Yeah.
And then Sarah started being a bitch about him being bi. I was like, what's your problem?
Yeah, well, okay. That was an interesting thing.
I get AIDS. And they're like, you get AIDS from straight people too.
Mm-hmm. That was 90s. That was pure 90s.
Huh?
Pure 90s homophobia, you know?
Yes. And I didn't even think about it being from the 90s. So I was like,
right. Well, I think that's the sign of a pretty decent movie, because if it's, you know, if obviously the 90s, and then you look at it and you're like, you're not even thinking about it being in the 90s because everything seems normal, you know, or whatever. It seems like it could be today, you know?
Yeah.
So I agree. So was there anything, like, overall, what did you guys think of the movie? Did you guys enjoy it? Did you guys not enjoy it? You did?
I thought it was pretty decent. I liked it. It kept me entertained.
It definitely kept me entertained. What about you, Dale?
It was okay. I mean, it definitely isn't my favorite movie by far. But, I mean, then again, I mean, that's, you know, it's expected. I mean, I think overall for how it wasn't bad. I think it definitely has an entertainment value to it. And it definitely showed some good improv with the actors, because I mean, like I said, I think almost, if not all of it, almost pretty much almost all of it was, and they were able to throw stuff together just like that. So, I mean, I think for what it was, it actually wasn't, you know, wasn't that bad.
Yeah. I would agree. Concur. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't like the greatest movie of all time.
So right.
That brings me to the big fun part of the show, where we do the rating. And we have this thing called the stinkometer. And it always feels weird talking about stinkometer on movies that are, this isn't mainstream. This is not a mainstream movie. This is definitely indie. So, like, I mean, this qualifies for Indie Film Cafe for sure. Some movies that I pick, actually none, but so far everything's been pretty indie in some way or another. But this is not indie. I think this was like 70 grand is what they spent on this movie or something, or you know, so that's, I mean, that's a pretty good, and that's 70 grand 95 money. So like today's money, that would probably be, I would say, $200,000 to $300,000, you know, that they spent on this movie. And having DiCaprio in your movie at that time period and having a budget of like less than $1 million, pretty damn good. So the stinkometer goes 1 if it's a really good movie, and 10 if it's stinky or terrible. And sometimes stinky is fun. Like if you know, pick a 10 and you just like, oh my God, this movie is just terrible, but it's fun, you know. Also, we could do like 5.5 if you're not sure. You know, if you're like, it's kind of between 5 and 6, it's a 5.5 kind of thing. So this is, so with that being said, I would like to hear Anna, what, you know, let me let the females go first, you know. What would you say?
I would give it a 4 because it kept me entertained through the whole movie. It had tons of conversation that kept you like, oh my God, in shock. So I like that part.
All right, cool.
Meeting at the end was your action. So that was pretty cool. And then by the end, they're all friends again.
Right. It was almost as if like them fighting is just like something that happens all the time.
Yeah, I like the music too. This acid jazz was pretty cool. Got kind of chaotic at one moment. So I was like, oh my God, I got to pause it for a second. So I actually had to pause it because the music was getting so intense. Paused it and I was like, okay, I can do this. Press play and kept going. So
great.
But the music, the starting song, I was like, oh yeah, this is my type of movie. So
well, good. You can definitely, was it Joey, I think was his name, right? On Boy Meets World, Blake Soper's character, Joey. So you can thank him for that. So Dale, what would you say?
I am going to give it a 5. And that's just because it was one of those that morbid curiosity definitely had me curious about watching it, but just with the overall shock factor with some of the stuff in the film, with just how in some of those scenes it was really brutal, you know, and just the overall how well they pulled off their parts for improv. So I'm gonna guess, because it was hard for me to make a decision on, because it wasn't the most god awful thing I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen some films that I had to wash my eyes out with bleach, and this did not have that factor. This definitely, I didn't have to wash my eyeballs without bleach. It had actual, you know, the actors that were in it were, you know, at the time where some of them were just starting out and they've actually went off to make bigger careers. And so I think with, like I said, the music was interesting. The improv was really good. And it definitely was, you know, entertaining for sure. So I'll give it a 5. I'll definitely give it a 5.
That was good. I like that. It's funny. I was going to give it a 6 because, even though it, you know, just like you said, I don't think it's terrible at all, like by any means of the stretch of the word, but I don't think it's great. And I don't think it's I think it's sort of, you know, cause I feel like a 5 would be meh. I think it's a little less than a meh. You know, like it's not terrible, but it's just sort of like, I don't know, like some people might find this movie really boring. You know, like I believe Paul, my buddy Paul, who we all know of or know, he would this was not his cup of tea. Why I didn't have him on the show, you know, because this is just not, he's gonna end up watching it later so that he could do his little review of it on the IFC, and I don't think he's gonna, you know, enjoy it very much. It's sort of a kind of a it's sort of boring for a lot of people that are kind of not into these type of people, who just kind of, a lot of times there's a lot of bickering, you know, and stuff. So but I think, you know, it was a decent, it had a little production issues or whatever for it, but it wasn't terrible. It wasn't, you know, this is not like high up there, you know, but it's, you know, it is what it is. So I give it a 6, you give it a 4, Anna, and you give it a 5, Dale, right?
Yes.
So we give it a 15 altogether. So it's actually not that bad on the stinkometer scale.
No.
So would I recommend this movie? Yeah. If you definitely want to see a movie that stars some of the biggest stars of the 90s at that time, getting together and making a movie, and everything, and maybe it'll inspire other people to go out and make their own movies, you know.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
And FYI too, also, you know, kind of watching, kind of, you know, get different perspectives behind the scenes of like some of the stuff. And like, we didn't go into detail of kind of stuff that happened with the film and why it didn't come out, but with what happened, it's definitely a good thing to watch and kind of learn from too, because of obviously what happened that caused all that. It's definitely gives also people that do want to break into it of things to watch out for.
Yeah. Especially just like, I mean, cause a lot of times, like, nobody knows why a lot of this, like, literally, like, only like probably Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire know the specifics exactly, you know,
right,
of what happened. And everybody can kind of say their scent on what, but like, it's sort of like different people's opinions on what happened. And the thing is, Leonardo DiCaprio did not want this movie out. There was a lot of rumors going around that it was because of Titanic coming out and he didn't want to ruin his career. But then there was a lot of talk about how they were going to sign, you know, his agency signed the director and signed the movie. Like, that didn't make any sense. So there's a lot of drama behind the scenes of this movie. And we didn't really go into that because I really wanted to mainly concentrate on the review of the film and not about the background. And I don't want to say the wrong thing because I don't know the truth. You know, I don't, you know, all I know is this was a fun movie. I feel like Leo, if you're listening, good God, if you're listening, please free Don's Plum, let it out, because there's no reason for it to be, you know, hidden. You know, it shouldn't be banned. People should be able to see it. And like I said, it might inspire a whole new generation of filmmakers who love people like Leo and respect him and are like, wow, if he can go out and make a movie with his friends like that on no budget, what, imagine what you could do now. Because that was actually filmed on like three different 16 millimeter cameras. Could you imagine if people just had three Blackmagic Pros and were able to just go make out their own movie and send it to like Sundance and shit, you know?
Right. I mean,
how amazing is that?
Yeah.
So all in all, I think this movie should be seen and, you know, I'm checked out. So with that being said, Anna and Dale, thank you so much. Anna, you and I have a show called Frights of the Roundtable 2.0 that will be back in August. We're really excited. We've got a bunch of cool stuff coming up. I'm really happy about that. And so I'm excited to continue. We're going to continue all the way throughout the rest of the year. So we'll have some fun guests coming up. And Dale, what have you been up to lately as far as acting wise? And I'll get to you, Anna, too, about your acting, because I know you got some stuff.
Well, let's see. I have projects coming up here hope within probably the next couple months. Some of them I can't really mention, but like I recently was part of a trailer for a series called 1921 Black Wall Street, dealing with the Tulsa race riots in Oklahoma. And then we're getting ready to start filming for that series in Oklahoma called The Joneses. It's like a comedy series dealing with the family. It's kind of like they base kind of some of the stuff off Modern Family, just kind of how they do, where they actually like have the individual family members like and cut into a scene where they're talking to fake, looking at the camera, talking about their family ordeals, kind of like it's almost like an interview style, but then it's going back to the actual sitcom part. That's kind of what I've been up to, or what I'm going to get ready to be up to. And then of course we're going to be doing our stuff later this year as well. So
yes, we will. So awesome. Anna, you had a movie that you just acted in with James Balsamo. Can you talk about that real quick?
I don't know much about it except for my part. And it was supposed to be Four, which was about a child star actor named, what was his name? Elliot Wolf was the child star actor name. And he grew up and he supposedly was like a freak and stuff like that, or like really weird. So I had to do a character where I was talking about how much of a freak he was and the things he wanted me to do in bed and stuff.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Fun times.
I went all out for it. It was called Hollywood Werewolf. He's still in it too. So, like, I know a couple of other people that were in it too, and they got to do self-shot video too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I had my husband shoot the video for me.
Wow.
That must have been fun.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. But I think I got a little too loud for the neighbors. So I was like making noises and stuff and going, woo, stuff like that. It was like 10 o'clock at night. So the neighbors were probably like, what is this girl doing next door?
Right.
Like, two takes and we had it.
Nice.
I was like, we can't do it a third take. That's too loud. So, and my husband told me, he's like, no, we did good. This is it. He's like, send it. I've got two takes of you. We're sending both. So I sent both takes. And then we went outside and filmed another take outside under the moonlight, pretty much in the street lights. Because it was supposed to have an office feel about it with the interviews and stuff.
Oh, just like Dale said on his show that he's doing.
So, oh, nice. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. So, yeah,
totally different from being on set.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I want to say thank you guys so much. I hope everybody checks us out. And I hope people go to freezedumsplum.com and check out the check that out. Also to email them and get an HD copy of this film if you like. It is up on YouTube, but we don't know how long that'll be up, you know? Like, right. I mean, it's not supposed to be. I guess it's still, I don't know what the deal is, you know, like with that, you know. So I don't wanna recommend people watching that, but it was just easier for us, you know, to make sure, you know, we watched it. But if you want to watch it on glorious HD, you know, check it out by the filmmakers. All right. Thank you guys. If you guys stick around, but everybody else, thank you guys so much. And join us in two more weeks where we'll have another episode, but it will be with Paul and myself. So thank you guys so much for checking us out. Oh, and before I go, I was about to forget it. Paul and I will be at Scares That Care Weekend, July 30th to August 1st, walking around. Hopefully if you guys are out there, check out scaresthatcareweekend.com and come say hello to us. We'll be just walking around. We won't have a table this year, but you know, so, and so I just had to make sure I mentioned that, but thank you guys for so much for checking this out and have a good one. Bye.